The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
But this one's certainly the most memorable, as this one comes in a walk-off fashion at the buzzer. A Damian Lillard distance three-pointer, giving the Bucks arguably their best win of the season, all things considered. As we heard from Adrian Griffin after the game, no Chris Middleton, a gritty win by this team. You had big contributions off the bench from the likes of Bobby Portis and Cameron Payne. Giannis with a triple-double that gets lost in the shuffle because of the late-game dramatics from Damian Lillard. And look, the way that this team struggled with some late-game execution, fell down by 6 points in overtime, but did not hang their heads, did not quit, and ultimately wins this game after a very, very bad start to the homestand in what you can only hope was the low point of the season in that loss to the Utah Jazz on Monday night. The Bucks bounce back and finish with three straight wins to close out this homestand, one in dominant fashion against the Boston Celtics. Doesn't matter where it was in terms of the schedule and this rest advantage that the Bucks had, because they were facing the same thing tonight, and they won. So that isn't a caveat or an asterisk to say, well, the Celtics were coming in on night two of a back-to-back. They had been good in those spots. The Bucks have been good in those spots for the last couple of years. It was still a convincing dominant win over Boston. Last night was one of the sandwich games where you wondered, what's the response going to be for this team when it's a game where you're facing the Warriors and a Warriors team that was without Draymond Green, without Steph Curry, without Chris Paul. The list went on and on and on, and the Bucks did enough to win that game. And then tonight was certainly one of the other bigger challenges facing a very good Sacramento Kings team that just has not been able to win here in Milwaukee for going on a decade now. But a very good Sacramento Kings team that presents a lot of challenges to any defense, and a rested Kings team that was looking to rebound and bounce back from a very, very difficult loss to the Philadelphia 76ers on Friday night. You were with no rest on night two of a back-to-back, and this team responded all throughout the game. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. It was a thriller. It came on what was already a big day for sports fans in the state of Wisconsin. And Damian Lillard puts the cherry on top of a big sports day here in Milwaukee and all of Wisconsin. 855-616-1620. That number to join us. We'll get to your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.143 to .142, the final here. Damian Lillard does it again. A walk-off three-pointer at the buzzer, sending the Bucks to this overtime win over the Sacramento Kings. And almost at the midpoint of the season, we'll get there on Wednesday night when the Bucks head to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. That will be game number 41 this season. But look, I mentioned early on in this season for the Bucks that it was going to take time. And it may have taken a little more time than all of us expected. I did throw out it could be the All-Star break. It could be halfway through the season. That's where it was in 2021 when the Bucks built a roster that was largely new. 50% of the players on that championship team were new players to the Bucks that season. It took time to learn all those tendencies, to learn Jrue Holiday, to learn Bobby Portis, and vice versa, for them to learn their new teammates and the system that they were running. There was a lot of changes that season as well, as you saw Mike Budenholzer moving not away from the drop defense, but inserting more things like switching and different ways the Bucks attack. That was the first year, remember, we really heard the mention of the dunker spot and the Bucks using that offensively. So there's a lot of change, and it took a lot of time. It wasn't until the All-Star break that it felt like that team was starting to gel, was really developing their chemistry, and was in a good spot. I'm not saying we're there, but it does seem like we're seeing more and more signs that the Bucks are moving there. And we heard from Adrian Griffin after the game that this is another one of those types of wins that does a lot for a team and a locker room to bring the group together. You saw that against the Boston Celtics earlier in the week. Tonight is certainly another one of those. The last one of those games we pointed to was in Fiserv Forum and that win against the Indiana Pacers prior to a very, very bad stretch of play starting once the calendar year flipped to 2024. But the Bucks, at least so far, have righted the ship and have headed off any bit of a prolonged slump and have started to move things once again in the right direction. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head out to the phones and check in with Lewis tonight. You're up first. What's going on?
Hey, Justin, first-time caller. Love your show. Was at the game tonight, and that fourth quarter and early into overtime was just real ugly with the shot selection, some of the decision-making. I mean, Dame even included, but I'm obviously happy with the outcome, happy the way we were able to come adversity and pull out a win when things were looking pretty bleak there.
It was we kind of talked about this after the game ended of, you know, this was the best win of the homestand, and that's a homestand where you blew the doors off the Boston Celtics. And then Adrian Griffin got into it a little bit afterwards in the postgame comments as well. But, you know, this, all things considered, might be the Bucks' best win of the season. You do it without Chris Middleton. You played a pretty back-and-forth game. This was a very good game and a well-played game by both teams from start to finish. Other than the Bucks' 12-point lead, it was within striking distance for both teams basically throughout this one. But you win without Chris Middleton. Damian Lillard, as you pointed to, you know, he did not have a great shooting night, but it just points to why you go out and you get Damian Lillard, as if anybody listening to this show needs that reminder. But it's just reasons like that, that he can be mired in a slump and not having a great night, but you still have to look for him and respect him when you look at the way that the Kings had to defend him down the stretch on those inbounds passes that went to Giannis ultimately because they did not want Damian Lillard to get the ball in those spots. But for this team to watch that lead slip away, and again, they did not execute down the stretch in regulation. That was an area that left a lot to be desired. And we heard from Adrian Griffin that the plan was to go for those fouls when you're up by three, pointing back to that Bulls game. As, look, we learned from that as a team, the players and the coaching staff, we all kind of aligned on we're going to foul in those spots. And I get that, but there's a lot of time left on the clock when the Bucks were making those fouls that really kept giving the Kings additional chances by extending the game, and it ultimately results in this game going to overtime. It would have been very easy for this Bucks team, for any team, to kind of hang your head and not get back into it when it is night two of a back-to-back. It's three games in 4 days. You watch the lead slip away down the stretch as you did, and you fall behind by six in overtime. Not a whole lot of teams win in that spot, but this team persevered, and they kept fighting back. And Damian Lillard, again, we talked about this early in the season when he had some of those moments against the 76ers in the season opener, against the New York Knicks as well, when Dame had a big game in that in-season tournament group play game and another big, strong finish to the fourth quarter. He did the same against the Miami Heat, that we've seen these moments from Damian Lillard where the offense is different and where you have a bona fide closer on your team, a team that already has Giannis and a team that on most nights has Chris Middleton. It takes this group to the next level. 855-616-1620 is that number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And look, Damian Lillard is going to get the headlines, and rightfully so. Giannis had his fifth triple-double of the season, and Giannis played very well tonight. But there was three other areas, players or areas, that I thought really stood out in this game. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk.
The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Damian Lillard does it again. The game-winning walk-off three-pointer at the buzzer sending the Bucks to a 143-142 overtime win here inside a Fiserv Forum over the Sacramento Kings. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Will.i.am. You're up next.
Justin, what a day to be a Wisconsinite, man. Big win by the Packers. Had to show up to this game. And another insane win. Again, beautiful walk-off fashion. Couple points I want to make here. First one, what were the Kings doing? They knew that was Damian Lillard. They knew that that guy can pull from anywhere. To allow him to run up the court to get to his spot, incredible. Secondly, for those that love the league like I do, this reminded me of Kobe over D. Wade at the end of that game. Just, you know, every possession came down to literally a make or break. And, you know, when they missed the free throws at the end and when they couldn't close out, allowing us to get that little slit of life. Oh, my goodness. I wanted to state the Kings are also a team for real out in the West. Coached by Mike Brown, a phenomenal coach. I was going to ask you, Justin, since you're on the stat stuff, when's the last time Mike Brown's been thrown out of a game? Very known to hold his composure. That caught me by guard very hard at that game.
It was jarring simply because of how agitated Mike Brown was. Like I think we mentioned it on the radio broadcast. I have never seen a coach quite that heated. You've seen coaches get upset and get animated and know they're going to be tossed. But the level that Mike Brown reached in this one, I think, caught all of us off guard.
Yeah, great. Again, one of my other favorite coaches, obviously, watching him with LeBron and obviously with the Warriors and seeing what he's done to the Kings, we saw in this game that the Kings really responded well to him getting ejected and rightfully so, taking us to overtime. But just to be in the arena to witness game time, oh, man, something special. And I also want to say to the fan that left seconds before this moment, what you doing, man? What are you doing? Wow, unreal, man. Go Bucks, Justin.
How many games have you been to this year?
I would say almost every home game minus the Warriors game due to I couldn't leave my driveway.
Okay. Was this the best game start to finish you've seen all year?
I would say so. The level of the intensity, obviously the Kings kind of let us take the driver's seat, but the back-and-forth battle from the Kings and the resilient walk-off game-winning three, oh my, I almost fainted, man. I almost fell down from the 32nd row, man. I was just so adamant and jumping up and down and almost made me cry, man. I love my team, man. Go Bucks.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. This would have been a tough one to lose just because of, you know, facing everything that we already went through. I'm not going to keep harping on the schedule, but knowing there was that in play, that it was certainly a winnable game and that you put yourself in a position to win the game for, 45, 46 minutes. It wasn't really until that late game execution that you left the door open too much for the Kings to jump back in it. This would have been a tough game to lose, all things considered. So the way this team fought back to win it is why I had said at the top, you know, if this is not their best win of the season, it's in the conversation with maybe two other games. I get wanting to point to, well, at least they beat up on the Boston Celtics, and we'll hold on to that one, that you won that game by 30-plus points against the Celtics team that had not been blown out this season. They haven't really had any bad games. Their losses had been close losses. The win on opening night, I think, is in that conversation as well, that victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. That's a game, though, as well, where this team, they certainly didn't play as well in that game as they did tonight. And same for Philadelphia, that was a team. Joel Embiid did not look good in that game. So, to me, this one was the best win of the season for this Bucks team. And we've continued to search for these moments of, can this be a springboard? We've started to see the Bucks taking those leaps and those steps forward. It's just a matter of consistently keeping it going in that right direction and not getting into this, let's take two or three steps forward and one step backward, which I really think was December into that first week of January. That was three, maybe four steps forward and then a big step backward the first week of January. But it's headed in the right direction now, not only with this win, not only with that win against the Celtics. The way that this team has responded since that game against the Jazz, the way that they had a businessman-like approach in that win last night against the Golden State Warriors. But I mentioned there was three other things outside of the late-game heroics from Damian Lillard, outside of the triple-double from Giannis. And look, if we're mentioning late-game heroics, Damian Lillard's going to get the credit for that three. But you know, we also have to bring up Brooke Lopez knocking down that corner three and Giannis's feed to him to make that a one-point game. And I mentioned this on the air as well. We talked about the Bucks' late-game execution. I do wonder if that isn't a play that the Kings would like to have back and readjust how they defended that, because it came off of one of those missed free throws. And again, that's another area where, as we heard Adrian Griffin quick to point out, on knowing where the line of questioning was headed, with Giannis going to the free throw line late, he did miss one of those free throws. That's what put us in overtime. But quickly pointed out, look, Giannis wasn't the only one that missed free throws in this game. The Kings missed three of them late. Malik Monk went 0-for-2 at the free throw line in overtime. We saw De'Aaron Fox miss one of those. But on that second miss by Malik Monk, Giannis gets the rebound, immediately moves down floor and starts attacking. And you could see the Kings going into scramble mode and trying to figure out how do we wall off Giannis here, when in hindsight, the best defense for Sacramento in that spot is probably to just let Giannis keep going down the lane and score. Don't foul him. Give up that two rather than the look to the corner and everybody collapsing into the paint, because that gave the Bucks even more life. If it is a two-point game and De'Aaron Fox hits both, it's probably over. If it's a two-point game and he goes one of two, Damian Lillard's three doesn't win it. So that was just as big of a play in this game. The awareness and the vision by Giannis, but the shot from Brooke Lopez. And Pat Connaughton as well, as we heard Adrian Griffin bring up his shot. You know, Pat Connaughton, Brooke Lopez, Damian Lillard himself, we saw some pretty clean looks in overtime that just didn't fall. But Pat Connaughton would get one later, knocking down a three-pointer that eventually tied the game and helped the Bucks win this one. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I will get to those three things, because it's not the shot from Brooke Lopez or the feed from Giannis. There were three other things worth pointing out in this game. We'll get to that and more of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Lillard goes into the front court. He's going to fire up a three for the win, and he hit it! Game time has arrived! On time in overtime! 143-142! Damian Lillard coming up with the clutch bomb to win it at the horn! Are you kidding me?
Damian Lillard, the game winner at the buzzer tonight, sending the Bucks to an overtime win over the Sacramento Kings. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with our good friend Justin in North Carolina. You're up next.
Hey, man, Justin, what a night, man. So let me be completely honest, man. First of all, shout out to my guy Will I Am. That was a great call, man, and I really liked he touched on a weekend for Wisconsin sports, but I think he forgot two other. You had your Milwaukee Panthers get a crazy win, yeah, and you had the Badgers basketball. Like, it's just crazy. Everybody in this state is winning. This has got to be the most perfect sports weekend we've ever had. But I'm going to be honest. I'm here in Orlando for work, sitting at a company dinner tonight, watching the game on my phone. Everyone's looking at me crazy because, you know, I'm making moves and squirming in my chair. And when it went to 4 points, I threw my phone. I was like, man, this is stupid. We're going to lose these guys. Walking back to the elevator, all of a sudden my phone beeps, and I expected to be Bucks loss. I look, 143-142. Oh, my God. One time I turned the game off, they won the game. But this is why Damian Lillard is here. He is him. We don't need to talk about what we could have, should have had with anyone else. This is why Dr. Griffin is who he is. Giannis proved it tonight. Pat Connaughton, a lot of people doubt this guy. He proved it. Everybody on this Bucks team is a key, essential part of this team. I'm really confident in this team, Justin, and I was a little bit off with my 4-0 prediction. I missed it by one. Utah probably had, I mean, Utah's won, what, 5 in a row since they shot lights out against us?
Yep.
This team is coming, and they're coming in a scary way. I said it before the other night against Boston. We're not afraid of anybody, and, you know, hey, we're going to keep Dick. We're going to keep Dick and Porwashik calm, man. He's not going to have any too many more dice to get upset, man. We might get him excited in a different way.
It was incredible. And for Damian Lillard to do that, and look, Dame, he didn't have a great shooting night. He was one of, I think, only two or three guys on the team. It was a game where the Bucks shot basically 50% from three, and I think they only had Dame and Bobby as the only two players that didn't shoot 50% or better on their three-point attempts. But it just – look, I keep saying it, but it's why you go out and you get Damian Lillard. And it was the fundamental recognition that we have to do things differently. We have to be able to score in the postseason. We couldn't do that before. Our half-court offense was not good. We were a good defensive team, but – you know, as I've mentioned a number of times, I think most coaches, or a lot, I should say, of coaches will tell you, you can improve your defense throughout the course of the season and into the playoffs, that you can take that. There is a skill set to it, and it is partially based on talent, but there's a lot more intangibles to the defense. It's five guys coming together and buying in to what it is that you're doing, and Mike Brown spoke about that a lot before the game tonight when he was asked about this Bucks defense and what, if anything, he's seen differently for the Bucks from this Bucks defense of late, and said, look, not having Drew, it changes what you're going to be able to do. You're going to have to mix in some blitzes some more, but they're basically running standard coverages here, and it's not about the system that you run. It's always difficult, and Mike Brown knows this as well as anybody. You go back to last year with the Sacramento Kings. It's always difficult. It's tough to be a new coach when you have largely the same personnel, but you're the new coach, and that's the change. That is difficult to try and come in and do something completely different. And I think that's what we saw for the first four games. And the Bucks recognized this isn't working. This doesn't play to our strengths. They went to Adrian Griffin, laid that out, and they changed it. As he said, it's not about the system that you run. What's most important for the coach is whether or not the guys on the floor buy into it and want to do that. That's the important part for this team. And I mentioned three things that stood out to me tonight. Bobby Portis is one of them. For whatever reason, I think we know the reason. Bobby Portis feeds off the crowd. The city of Milwaukee Bucks fans love Bobby Portis. He energizes this building, and he clearly plays much better at home than he does on the road. I think the big challenge is how do we bottle this and get more of that consistency that we've seen from Bobby in previous years to keep this going, because he's big for this team, especially when he's attacking the glass. It doesn't solve everything, but a lot of these issues we've seen from the Bucks, they start to get corrected when Bobby Portis is playing like he played tonight. Cameron Payne, too, you can't say enough good things about him. Before the game, Adrian Griffin basically said, look, I didn't play him. I know he just came out of concussion protocol, but we only saw him for about a minute in that game against the Celtics in the second half when the game was out of reach. We didn't see him last night against the Golden State Warriors. And Adrian Griffin said before the game that, you know, part of that was we hadn't been doing a good job rebounding, and where and how we had been attacked by opponent defenses. I wanted more size out there. So that's where Cam Payne kind of fell on the chopping block with his minutes, but reiterated, I trust Cam Payne. I know what he can bring. I think he's doing a great job. This isn't us closing the door on him. He's going to have some opportunities, and you assume that would be tonight with no Chris Middleton, and especially with foul trouble for Andre Jackson Jr. For Cam Payne to go through that, to basically have three games of not playing with the concussion protocol and those last two games against the Warriors and Celtics, and come in and do what he did in a big spot in minutes where Dame and Giannis were not on the floor, was just as big as anything for this team outside of that Damian Lillard three tonight. So those were two of them, but the other one I just kind of touched on, the defense. You got to bottle it, and you got to start to extract more minutes from this. But we've heard a number of times this season Adrian Griffin talking about sequences and quarters that he especially liked, what he saw from that group. And I do really think you saw that for a decent amount of stretches in this game, especially in that second half, because both of these teams shot the ball well basically for the duration of the game. And you look at the way the Kings started the game with a 37-point quarter, 66 points at the half, 68-66. But what the Bucks did in that third quarter, and that's all of a sudden starting to become one of the Bucks' better quarters. We mentioned where they've been defensively in the fourth. Third quarter is starting to be big as well, and that, to me, speaks to coaching, because that's where you make your adjustments coming out of the half. 25 points that they held the Kings to in the third quarter. Scoring went up for both of those teams in the fourth quarter, but we continue to see more and more of a sample size of this defense making enough plays. And that's what I'm going to keep going back to. It's just finding that balance. You don't expect this group to be an elite defense. They are an elite offense. But you just need to make enough plays to win the game. As a whole, you got to be a defense that's good enough to keep your team in the game. And we've seen stretches where that has not been the Bucks defense this season. But you got to be good enough to keep the team in the game, make enough plays down the stretch, and your offense will take it from there. That was the recipe for success for the Denver Nuggets a season ago. And the Bucks feel like that's going to be their recipe for success as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk, a thriller. Damian Lillard strikes again with the game winner in overtime at the horn. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, because I'm on my way.
143-142, the final in overtime. The Bucks come back to beat the Sacramento Kings on the game-winning walk-off three from Damian Lillard, what he has done so many times in his career. He strikes once more tonight. Again, not a hot shooting night by any stretch for Dame in this one. Finishes 5 of 13 on threes, 9 of 23 from the field, but it's that looming threat that he brings. The way that you saw the Sacramento Kings defend the Bucks' inbounds passes, knowing they did not want Damian Lillard as the guy to get the ball in his hands and didn't want to foul Dame to put him at the line in those clutch moments of this game. That is one big advantage to having Damian Lillard. His shot-making ability is obviously an even bigger advantage, and he poured in 9 of his points in overtime, where Dame goes 3 of 3 at the free throw line, 2 of 4 on his field goal attempts, and all of those shots were three-pointers for 9 points down the stretch from Damian Lillard in this one as the Bucks beat the Sacramento Kings. A signature win tonight for the Bucks, and very, very arguably their best win so far this season. Again, a game where you did not have Chris Middleton. You were on night 2 of a back-to-back. It was your third game in 4 days, and this team goes to overtime, falls behind by 2 possessions in overtime, and is still able to win this game. It was a number of players that were responsible for this. Obviously, the winner by Damian Lillard, the triple-double from Giannis, another big game from Bobby Portis on the home floor for the Bucks. And as we just finished mentioning, Cameron Payne, what he did to basically go 3 consecutive games without playing, essentially being the equivalent of a healthy scratch, and step up and play the way that he did tonight. Cameron Payne, also huge for this Bucks team. And what made it even more impressive was the biggest moments of impact for Cam Payne in this game, and Bobby Portis for that regard as well, came in the early portion of the fourth quarter, late third, early fourth quarter, but especially in that fourth quarter stretch. That was a period where both Giannis and Damian Lillard were off the floor. You wondered how the Bucks would respond there and if that would be the moment where the Sacramento Kings would make their charge. It was not, and that was largely due to the play of Bobby Portis and Campaign, who gave this bench a much-needed boost and a spark tonight, snapping what was a 10-game streak of the Bucks bench being outscored by the opposition. That was not the case tonight, as Campaign and Bobby Portis converge for big games, helping the Bucks bench outscore the Sacramento Kings bench. And look, here's the other thing. For Bobby Portis, you look at his numbers on the season and you look at the home versus road splits for Bobby. As we mentioned, he is a player that feeds off of the crowd energy. He brings that energy as well, and it's reflected in his numbers offensively. In 23 home games here at Fiserv Forum this season, Bobby Portis is averaging 14 points per game, shooting 53% from the floor, 41% on his three-point attempts, 7 rebounds per game that he's averaging, and he's recorded 6 double-doubles on the home floor here. In 17 road games, he has 1 double-double. He is averaging 11 points. He is shooting 47% from the floor and 33% on his three-point attempts. So he is not only producing more numbers, but he is much more efficient on the home floor as well. And again, those double-doubles coming much, much more frequently here in Milwaukee than they are on the road. So if you can get more of those performances from Bobby Portis away from this building, and maybe tonight was something that triggered that, this homestand. We pointed to the 6-game homestand earlier in the season when Bobby maybe played his best basketball this season. If you can keep this rolling, that's going to go a long way in the Bucks continuing to find themselves and build that chemistry and continue to gel as a team. Two much needed days off now before hitting the road for 3 in your next 5 games, all within the Central Division. Wednesday night in Cleveland against the Cavaliers, and then 2 games in Detroit over the weekend. After that, you return home for 2 more games against the Cavs. So this is another part of the schedule that you hope the Bucks can take advantage of. Wednesday night in Cleveland, Bucks and the Cavaliers, 6:30 tip, 6 o'clock is when our pregame begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk.